Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
Hardship. My grandmother would go through it every month to pay her insurance bill. First, she would handwrite a paper check, in cursive. Then, using her own tongue, she would wet a stamp for an envelope. Today, however, we need not weary our hands and tongues. Today, we can pay our GEICO bill with the GEICO app. Away with hardship, in with bill pay on the GEICO app. Thank you.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast brought to you by Fear the Sword and the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, I am Chris Manning, your host. I'm an editor at Fear the Sword, and I also wrote The Step Back, and you see my work at places like Vice Sports. Today, the Celtics-Cavs recap. Before we get into that, just want to say thank you, everyone, who listened to yesterday's show. It was our biggest episode to date. One day total. I mean, just destroyed everything else. And we even got a shout out on Twitter from the official Audio Boom account, which is where this podcast is hosted. So y'all are fantastic for making this episode fantastic, making this podcast great. And just want to say thank you for everyone out there who listened to me and Tim Cato talk about Deron Williams and Andrew Bogut, and then me and John Corrales talk about Cavs Celtics. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. Hope you guys stay around. Hope more of you stay around to tune into that episode. And I appreciate it. The Cavs did lose to Boston last night. John and I had different views in that game. John was a little bit more pessimistic about the Celtics than I was, weirdly enough. But Boston wins 103-99. A very close game. Another really, really entertaining game for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Just another highly contested, fun, back-and-forth game. Cavs, the only quarter the Cavs won in terms of outscoring was actually the first. Outscored Boston 26-20 in the first. Then were outscored 29-24, 25-21, and 29-28 in the last three quarters. So Boston was just the better team over those final three quarters in a very close game. Isaiah Thomas was big for them, 31 points for him. Jay Crowder hitting two big free throws with just seconds to go to really ice that game. The Cavs did have a chance to win it because when we had Deron Williams in his first game as a Cavalier miss a corner three in the last minute of the game. LeBron hit him. He was wide open. I think the pass was the right move. And he just missed. I mean, it rimmed out, but interesting in itself that he was in that game. I wouldn't read too much into this in terms of Boston competing with the Cavs in a playoff series just because I think Boston still is going to have issues with Cleveland. I think there's going to be some problems with them defending LeBron. I think Kevin Love certainly is going to impact the series in a major way. J.R. Smith will help with the starting lineup in a major way, especially considering Amon Shumpert had another poor shooting performance last night. His shooting struggles appear to have not just been left in February. It looks like they're going to continue through March. An interesting game. In news, Jordan McRae was cut to clear way for Andrew Bogut. Hit left a very classy post up on his Instagram. Kyrie Irving, per ESPN's Dave McMenamin, was consulted about the move, and Kyrie is a star, so I think that's pretty normal for something like this. And a pretty interesting move, just because he cannot go to Canton. I've said on the show before and tweeted about this that I thought he could end up in Canton if he goes to the D League. And this is a shout out to Sean Wyatt, who's a great PR guy for the Canton Charge, noted this to me when I emailed him about this, kind of bouncing that off him if that was possible. and he had said that, and noted this mean, I just forgot about it, I guess. McRae's rights are held by the Delaware 87ers, where the Cavs got him previously because he's not played 10 or more games with the Canton Charge. So Delaware would have his rights. Canton could trade for him. The Cavs could sign him again in the summer to a deal when the rosters are set to go up to 17 and two-way contracts become a thing. The Cavs could certainly go the route. It wouldn't shock me if they went back to the Jordan McRae pool, for lack of a better way to describe it. But for right now, it looks like McRae is not going to be with the Cavs organization anyway. It won't be with the D-League team unless a trade happens. But all the best to Jordan McRae. He's a nice guy every time I've talked to him. I think he does some things well. I don't think he just fit this team. And I think, frankly, picking Liggins over him was the right move. I think if you had to play one of them in a playoff series, you could leverage Liggins in ways that I think are just more functional than what McRae does. McRae is not a good defender. He's not particularly strong. He can score, but he's not a guy who is going to be a useful two-way player. I think Liggins, statistically, is a good three-point shooter from the corners. He can defend guys. He's probably one of the Cavs' better wing defenders. And he can just do things that end that way that I think are just more useful than what Jordan McRae brings to the court. So that's sort of a minor thing. But I think neither guy would really make an impact. But I think Liggins, if you had to play one, is more useful. And I really don't. I'm not sure it's close, to be honest with you. Even if I think McRae has some value. The Cavs developing him just didn't really work. And that happens. I mean, they took a shot on a guy. Kept them around, tried to hype him up as sort of a trade asset in a way, but it just didn't work. And I mean, I don't think any team actually out there was going to be super interested in dealing for Jordan McRae, to be honest. I just don't see what value he would have had. But we're going to do three quick takeaways from this game, three looks at the Cleveland Cavaliers' loss to the Boston Celtics. Had a very, close game. A couple things break differently. And I want to lead with this quote from Tyronn Lue that I'm just going to read to you. He says, quote, "Once we all get together and get on that right page, we'll be a tough team to beat." That is sort of a cliche quote. The Cavs are already really, really hard to beat. But the Cavs just filled their two biggest needs. Kevin Love is out. And J.R. Smith is out. They're going to get these guys back. They're going to have a 12-man sort of playable rotation. Like, you're not going to play Kay Felder. I think he should spend a ton of time in Canton. I think you're not going to play James Jones, and you're not going to play Liggins. That's going to take away three. And you're probably going to... Someone's going to lose minutes. I think it could be Shumpert. And we're going to get into that next week, I think. And I'm going to write about that, I think. But, yeah, the Williams and Derek Williams, I think, could play in the finals. The Cavs have talked about him in that way before. Korver, I think, has to play at this point. And Chumbridge is not producing. So we're going to see how that sort of plays itself up. The Cavs just got a lot deeper. And that's a pretty fascinating thing for a team that David Griffin literally turned Dunleavy and Birdman and all those random parts into Kyle Korver, Deron Williams, and Andrew Bogut. Like, guy's a freaking great GM. So stop until LeBron is the GM stuff, because LeBron is not the one doing that. All right, three takeaways from this game. We'll start with the new guy, Deron Williams. 31 minutes for him. Just read you a stat line. 31 minutes, 5 of 10 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3, 1 of 2 from the line, 3 boards, no assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 2 turnovers, plus minus of negative 2 and 13 points. Most notably missed that 3 near the end of the game. I thought he played well, but I think the more interesting thing here is that Ty Lue trusted him late immediately. I don't know how indicative that's going to be of the playoffs when JR is back and everything like that, but it's pretty interesting. And I'm sorry, he only played 24 minutes, I believe, actually. I think the ESPN stat page might be wrong there, but so I apologize for that. But this is a guy who has played at a high level before, but he hadn't played a game since February 15th, so I think he did look a little bit rusty. But I think Tyronn Lue trusting him is pretty interesting, just because he is looking for things that are going to work, and he's going to give Williams that chance, I think. Him being in at the end of the game, even on that where Korver struggling and over Shumpert and all these different things is sort of indicative that they want to give Williams a shot to play. I think he may not play as much when JR comes back. He may not play as much if Shumpert regains his stroke. He may not play as much on certain matchups, but I think this is a guy that is going to get a chance to really play a key role on this team. I don't think this is just going to be a depth thing. I think this is a guy who actually is going to play. And it, interesting thing, he didn't expect to play that many minutes. And some of this is because of the foul trouble. I mean, Kyrie Irving picked up 2 first quarter fouls. Williams had to come in, I think, a bit earlier than they would have liked. It's hard to sort of know when he's going to play, because Kyrie normally is going to play most, if not all, of the first quarter. So I think you may see start seeing Williams come in the second quarter, but if Irving gets in foul trouble, he's obviously going to get some bumped up. But again, hadn't played a game since February 15th. And he did say after the game, quote, "My legs felt a little heavy today, and I felt a little bit of rust because I had been on the court in 2 weeks. I didn't expect to play as many minutes." So, interesting enough that that's just how this played out. Kind of a up and down first game in some ways, but I thought he overall looked good. He's going to get better. He's going to get a chance to play. And I would expect to see him a little bit later than around the 6-minute mark of the first quarter where we saw him on Wednesday night. And again, him and Kyrie, I believe, played 8 minutes together. I don't know how much we'll see of that. We will see. But I don't know how much I love that. But I do think it's something Tyronn Lue should experiment with. If I was going to just throw out an arbitrary grade for Darren Williams' debut, I'd probably give it a B. Thought he was solid. I thought he struggled on defense against Isaiah Thomas, but who doesn't? We'll see. Number 2, Kyrie Irving had a very fascinating game for me because his stat line's pretty good. 32 minutes for him, despite the foul trouble. Had a plus-minus of negative 11, which is the worst on the team last night. 28 points, 1 block, 1 steal, 1 assist, 2 turnovers, 2 rebounds, 6-6 from the line, 2-6 from 3, 10-19 from the field. Had a 15-point third quarter where he did a lot of his damage and was really sensational. Had that amazing Dr. J-like layup in the fourth. Was generally a very good player in this game, but I think one thing with him that we've talked about on the show, that he has had a better year as a creator for others, and I think people really get. I don't think he's perfect. I think there are certainly issues. I think there are certainly problems with what he is as a creator for others, and I think that's maybe one of his weakest areas, but this is a guy who was averaging over 6 assists at one point. He's down to 5.9. He's scoring at the highest level of his career. But I think 1 assist in a game like that, I think, is a bit of an issue. I don't know how much we're going to see of this in the playoffs. I think you'd maybe think he would lean on Kevin Love more and stuff like that. But 1 assist for him against 1-2 turnovers isn't great. And I don't even think it was just guys missing shots, because the Cavs shot pretty well. But Kyrie does this thing sometimes where he goes at guys and he wants to beat them one-on-one. And Avery Bradley is one of those guys. He said like 3 years ago that Bradley's a guy that he thinks is a great defender, that is one of the guys that can slow him down. And Kyrie has to deal with that with Avery Bradley. They were fighting in a little phone booth last night. And those two guys going at each other is dizzying. But Kyrie doing it over and over again is not something that I think is super Boston has this ability to throw Marcus Smart, who defends LeBron too, and Avery Bradley and all these other guys at Kyrie that very other few teams can do. And Kyrie goes at them one-on-one, and I think that's a bit of an issue. I do think he's going to have to not do that in a series because it's going to bog down the Cavs' offense in certain ways. I think if he's making better reads to find cutting LeBron, to find Kyle Korver, to find these other guys, I think it's only going to make the Cavaliers' offense better, and I don't think last night was a really good example of that. I think he kept them alive in the third, absolutely. It was big late. The Cavs went to him late, and I think going to him late is fine because he's just riding the hot hand, and he's just a sensational fourth-quarter scorer. And LeBron was still really orchestrating things, especially on that last possession where Deron Williams missed that three. That was LeBron making that pass. It wasn't a Kyrie thing, although Kyrie did miss a shot, I believe, in the lead-up to that. But I do think him getting only one assist in a game where he's going at Avery Bradley is a bit of a problem. I'm not saying he has to go out there and get 10 assists, but I think just being a little more open to getting the ball moving and flowing is a thing. And I do think that's a fair criticism of Kyrie, where, again, he had a great night scoring. And he was putting an effort on defense last night, which was pretty interesting to see. But this is not a guy that I think should end up with one assist. I think that's a bit of an issue. Last takeaway I have from this game is that I think there's a lot in this game that makes me think the Cavaliers really didn't even play their best. This isn't to make excuses for them. This isn't to kind of put down Boston's wings. It was a great game. I thought Boston did a lot of stuff to really frustrate the Cavs. They got really good games of guys like Marcus Smart, guys like Kelly Olynyk, guys like Avery Bradley, Isaiah Thomas, Al Horford almost got a triple-double. Jay Crowder had a double-double. Just a lot of really, really useful guys. But the Cavs only shot 40% from the field, 30% from three, and 60% from the line. Boston, and they had, you know, their defensive rating wasn't great. Boston was a bit better. They were just a titch better on both ends of the floor, just a slightly better team in that night. And I do think there are just ways the Cavs are going to really push Boston in the playoffs that's not going to really be indicative of this game. They're going to have Kevin Love back again. He's going to really impact the series in a positive way. J.R. Smith is going to be a huge upgrade over Ramon Jumpert, assuming he is right and assuming he is good to go. I think the Cavs will have better options for Isaiah Thomas in that scenario. I think the Cavs are going to do some stuff like they did with Steph Curry come the finals. Last year in the finals and going at him and being very physical with him, I think you're going to see that with Isaiah Thomas in a possible playoff series. I really, really think they're going to badger him that way, and that's going to impact him. It's going to wear him down. It's going to be interesting to see how this sort of plays out, and we're going to have to get there. We'll have to see if Deron Williams cuts down on LeBron's minutes. We're going to have to see how Boga gets introduced. We're going to see how Kevin Love and Jared Smith look once they come back. But I wouldn't read too much into this game in terms of how Boston really matches up with the Cavs. I think it's a good win for Boston, but I really don't think this is a game to make you think, okay, I really don't think this is a game that proves that the Boston Celtics are in the same class as the Cleveland Cavaliers. I don't think it's the Cavs. Again, 2-1 against Boston in the year. There are three games up in the East standings right now. And we'll have to see how that would play out. But I don't really think this game, again, is proof of what Boston and Cleveland are really going to do against each other. So that's going to be it for today's show. I hope you guys had fun watching the game last night. I did too. I was, after a work trip and coming and watching Enrique Mingo's wipes, so I apologize for the podcast getting up a little bit late. We'll be back again tomorrow with a little look ahead of the weekend and a little other Cavsy talk. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Again, thank you for making yesterday's show so great. Please drop your mailbag questions to lockedoncavs@gmail.com or to @lockedoncavs on Twitter. Have a great Thursday.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.